ABC Radio Darwin.
Kwandong, it's got lots of names. It's like they call it a desert peach or the desert gem. It's a beautiful ancient fruit. You know, I've heard stories of them finding these seeds, you know, really, really old ancient seeds under the ground. And for me, they're an iconic fruit of the Central Desert region. They're just a stunning, a tasty fruit. It looks like a desert tree. Like it can grow probably, I don't know, about 6 metres, 8 metres high. They're kind of really shrubby. They like to have a host plant nearby, like maybe another acacia tree. And it usually ends up killing that tree by the end of it. When it starts to get big, that little tree will die. From the ones that I know in the bush, I reckon every second year you get a really, really good crop of the fruit. It seems like it takes a couple of years to get a really good fruit. And they're beautiful, bright. Like, it reminds me of like a bush Christmas tree, because when they're all in fruit, they are so bright and red, you can spot them from a mile off, and they're just all hanging like baubles on a tree. And they're very popular, not only with us humans, but with lots of other birds and insects as well.
Yeah.
And once they ripen, you kind of have to be really quick to get them off the tree. Because they sort of, once they get to that full stage of being bright red, they do start to deteriorate pretty quickly. And even after you've picked them, you've got to get them into the fridge as soon as possible.
Right.
But well worth the wait, because they are just delicious.
So lots of fruit every couple of years.
Yeah, I've just noticed that, you know, over the years, just watching our local trees. I know a lot of my friends have them in their backyard growing. And some people also, you know, harvest the fruit, and they will, if they can't eat them all, they'll cut the seed out, and then they'll dry them, because what you can have this dried fruit, which you can then utilize again at a later date by just soaking it in some water, and then it softens up again, and you can use it for in chopping up in different things, you know, recipes and things. So, yeah, if you don't have a big freezer and you haven't got enough room, you can always just cut them and dry them.
How big are the Kwandong fruits?
A good size, you know, like a Tom Bowler marble.
Okay, yeah,
that's about the size. But the thing is, it's when you look at the fruit, you think, oh, it'd be so juicy, you're just going to bite into it. But then you've got a gigantic seed in the middle, and the flesh is kindly lightly attached to the seed. It's not really like on a peach, you know, when the fruit sticks to it.
Mm.
It's kind of like, seems like it's just sitting in the middle rolling around, really, but it's got little attachments, and you just pop it, and then the seed comes out about the size of a marble.
Okay. So not much flesh.
No, there's not much flesh in it at all. But it is so good for you. It's got lots of iron in it. It's got lots of antioxidants. So it's a healthy little fruit. It's not really, really sweet. It's pretty tart as well. And it's been, you know, Indigenous people have been utilising this fruit for many, many thousands of years. They now use that fruit in different ways, and the seed in a different way. They sort of, inside of that little hard seed shell is a little tiny kernel as well, like a little pine nut.
Okay.
Which has around 63% fat content.
Wow.
So it's really oily.
Yeah.
And the ladies told me that they used to use that to put through their hair. They'd rub it together, and then they'd shine, make their hair all shiny with it. So,
wow.
Yeah.
So there's also multiple traditional uses for the Kwandong.
Yeah, and then like the seeds can lie for many, many years on the, you know, and wait for the right time. And sometimes that might mean a bushfire that might go through and, you know, crack the shell, and then the rains come afterwards, and then it get, because of the layers and layers of leaves on the ground, that's where it germinates in the ground, and it can sit there for years, you know. So they're really great, you know. They really suited to this environment out in the desert. They can sustain themselves and sit quietly until it's the right time, you know.
Comes along, right.
For them to germinate again. And they're not in, like, you wouldn't find a gigantic stand of kwandongs, you know. You might see a few little trees scattered around together, but then you might walk for a few more miles and then you'll maybe see a couple more.
Yeah, like a little desert treasure in the middle of an arid climate. It's quite amazing.
Yeah. They just seem to know how to survive out there, but they've had a bit of a hard time, though, in the last decade or so with our feral camels.
Oh, really?
They've really taken a liking to our kwandongs, and they've kind of decimated a lot of our natural stands. And I think that's why a lot of locals have now, you know, taken to, you know, getting them going and growing in their backyards now, because the camels love them.
How about that?
And they chew the whole tree down, like they eat the whole tree. And so sometimes that little tree might wait for a long time to get there. And yeah, so there's not been much really anyone up here that I know. I mean, I've seen a lot of backyard, you know, yards out in the rural area that got a lot of kwandong trees on them, but I haven't seen any big farms here.
Okay. I was going to ask, are there any commercial kwandong growers?
Well, I think some of the mob that out on those little hobby farms probably make a good little, you know, go of it when we get a good season. And because some people I know have surrounded their whole yards with kwandong trees, and this year has been a particularly good kwandong year.
Oh, really?
I went to my friend's backyard on the old east side, and her trees were absolutely full and just bright red. And
wow.
She said, this is one of the best seasons I've seen for a long time.
So when is the time to pick kwandongs?
Around September, August, September, October, around that time. It's a very short window. But, yeah, it was a really good year today. I hadn't seen her trees so laden with fruit this year. So it was a good year. I think it was a good year all around for fruiting trees in the desert country. Yeah.
Raylene Brown is my territory teacher this week. I'm learning about kwandongs, desert bush food. How do you like eating kwandongs, Raylene?
Well, I just love eating them straight off a tree. That's the best way. That's when they're at their best. But like I said, they don't last very long. You couldn't kind of put them in a punnet and keep them nice and fresh in the fridge too long. You've got to put them straight in the freezer. But I love them in I usually make a jam out of my kwandongs, and also in desserts and sauces and things like that. It's delicious. I remember one year a lady made a beautiful croquembouche out of fresh kwandongs. It was a stunning dessert that I saw, and it was absolutely delicious. But yeah, usually I love it in a jam, and I think a lot of Australians, the older generations, remember, you know, in South Australia and even through New South Wales, remember eating kwandong jam as a child. So it's got a long history in Australia, the kwandong tree.
Has there been a kind of growing interest from fancy restaurants and chefs in the kwandong?
Yeah, definitely. I just feel in the last 5 years or so that restaurants, chefs, well-known chefs all around Australia are really starting to embrace our bush foods, which for me makes me happy, because I think, you know, underutilized natural foods of Australia, you know, we embraced every other cuisine from around the world, and but we had the best stuff sitting here in our own backyard, and I'm just really happy that now, you know, there's a big interest out there, and from consumers as well, you know, thinking about our environment, the best they grow here, you know, to be less of an impact. You wouldn't have to, especially these arid plants, you don't need to add water. They've already set themselves up to survive, you know, in this environment. So
yeah,
for me, a no-brainer.
What are some of the other bush foods that can be found in the central desert region, if you know where to look?
We've also got another desert plum that's related to the kwandong. They grow all around Uluru, you'll see lots of stands and all over the place. Our bush tomatoes, or our kajira, we call it a kajira, they are just delicious little berries that grow on low-lying bushes, and they're an annual, so they come up after a bit of bushfire and a bit of rain. They'll just pop up all over the place, and they're really prolific around northeast of Alice Springs, up to Tea Tree and right out in the northeastern communities out there where they're all wild harvested. So they're delicious, and they're on the you know, they're one of the big sellers in the main market now. A lot of people are always looking out to buy bush tomatoes. But I love it because here we can, you know, I buy all the wild harvested stuff, which is the best. People are cultivating it now all over Australia, but I still think we've got the best bush tomatoes because this is where they come from, you know. So
in the central region.
Yeah, in the central desert. They're Solanum centrale, so that's their scientific name. And the juiciest ones are out on the northeast of Alice there. So, yeah, I swear by those.
Yeah. Does having all this bush food knowledge, I guess, make you feel differently or look differently at the landscape in the region?
Yeah. When I'm out bush, when I'm in the car driving along on a dirt road, I'm always on the lookout, looking around, seeing what's happening. You know, even when we had that drought, you know, just trying to see signs of how everything's, you know, bearing up, whether the wattle trees are going to be able to produce lots of seed. And even when I get out of the car and start walking around the bush, I'm always on the lookout for things that my nana taught me, you know, about the bush foods that are around us everywhere. And I have a great respect for our desert country, you know, and for the people that have lived here for many thousands of years and surviving, you know, on these, from their knowledge, you know, from these plants and foods that they knew were passed down from generation to generation. So I feel really privileged to, you know, have that knowledge myself and to be able to share it with others, and especially cooking with it. I really enjoy the cooking side of things.
ABC Radio Darwin.